Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse number 1. Jeremiah 18 verse number 1. Appreciate the opportunity to stand in the name of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 18 verse number 1. One of the most beautiful pictures in the Word of God of how God deals with sinners and how sinners are saved by the grace of God is the potter and the clay. There's no more vivid picture in the entire Word of God than to examine the potter and the clay and examine how the potter deals with the clay is exactly, precisely the way God deals with us. In finding the clay and forming the clay, it's the same process. So in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse number 1, Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." That's reading verse 1 through 6, Jeremiah 18. Now the primary application of these verses is to the nation of Israel. But the Word of God says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and so on. So the entire Word of God, no matter where it comes from, can be applied. If you don't take it out of context, it can be applied. So even though this is the primary application to the nation of Israel, there is a personal application that can be made to each one of us, in that we're clay. We are clay. Our bodies are formed from the dust of the earth, and that's the clay of the earth. And so therefore we are clay in the potter's hands. Amen. So the application's there, and all you gotta do is you take it and magnify on it. And it's so beautiful. Now, let me say that the first thing that happens with the clay is that the clay is in the potter's heart. The heart of the potter has clay on the heart of the potter. The same way it was with God. Before you were ever made, before Adam and Eve were ever formed, before God ever created this world, there was in the heart of God a sinner that needed to be saved. Say amen. And so it is with God as it is with the potter. The clay was in the heart of the potter long before anybody knew that there was such a thing as clay. Amen. Then not only is there the potter's heart, but then there's the potter's hunt. And the potter goes out and he goes to where the clay is, because the clay cannot get up and go to where the potter is. Amen. Clay has no feet. The clay is dead. Clay has no means of transportation. The clay is buried in the mucked in the mire of this world, of the earth, and cannot dig its way out. Say amen. That's the way a sinner is. A sinner is buried in the muck and the mire of sin. Is dead in trespasses and sins. Has no life. Has no light. Has no way to get to God. And God must come and get that sinner, because that sinner cannot go and get God. Amen. When I could not go to him, the song says, he came to me, thank God. And that's the same thing with a potter. He gets up, he leaves his house, he goes down to where the clay is at. He digs and digs and digs until he finds the clay. It does not matter how deep he has to dig, because he knows the clay is down there. Amen. And what a beautiful picture that is of the sinner. He'll dig just as deep as you are. No man is too deep for God to dig him out. Amen. So it's the potter's house, or potter's heart, then the potter's hut. And then he takes that clay and takes it back to his house. Amen. Once the clay was in the earth, now the clay is in the potter's house. And he sets that clay up on the shelf for it to dry out. Amen. Because it's got the water of the world in it. You've got to get the water of the world out, the water of the world in. Amen. So he sets it up and lets it dry out. And that's the potter's house. But then we come to the potter's hands. And one day, all of a sudden, the potter decides that he wants to do something with that clay. Right now, it's just one big ball of clay. It's not of use to anybody. Nobody wants clay. Nobody wears clay on them as an ornament. Clay never did do anything. Clay never did say anything. Clay never has thought anything. Clay is clay. Amen. Same way it is with a sinner. Sinner's never done anything good for God. Sinner never will do anything good for God apart from the grace of God. A sinner is always in the hands of God. Outside the hands of God, a sinner can't do anything. Say amen. I mean, listen to me. When God decides to mold that sinner, it's the same process as when the potter decides to begin to mold that clay. Amen. So he takes that clay and he picks it up. It's in the potter's hand. And the potter puts that clay on that wheel. And he centers it right in the middle of the wheel. Amen. And the reason he does that, if he don't get it exactly centered, then that clay will be what size? Amen. One end will be bigger than the other end. And I'm going to make an application right there. If we don't get in the perfect will of God, we'll come out on the other end with a big head.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. One end will be bigger than the other end.
Right. Amen.
We'll be what size?
Yeah.
Amen. But if we'll let God position us in the center of His will, amen, we'll be perfectly rounded on all edges. Amen.
Amen.
We'll not be fanatical on one end and liberal on the other. I've met those kind of folks. You know, they strain their neck and swallow a camel. Amen. You won't be that way. You'll be perfectly rounded. You'll have the same conviction about other people's sins, and you'll have that same conviction about your sins. You won't be lopsided, amen.
Right.
So it puts him right on the center of the wheel.
Yes.
And that wheel is operated by his hand, by his foot. Amen. One represents the will of God, the other represents the judgment of God. Amen. And so he begins to spin that wheel and get that wheel to turning. And he takes his thumb, the potter takes his thumb, and he puts it right in the middle of that clay, and he starts to put the pressure on. Say amen. And that's the way God does us. Hey, you're never going to be any good until you get molded by the pressure of being a child of God, by the pressure of being in the will of God, by the pressure of the trials and the tribulations. Say amen. They're not enjoyable, but they will mold you into a child of God that cannot be moved. Amen. You never suffer anything. You never done anything. Amen. So it's his hands are hands of ministry. Ministry. They're hands of sovereignty. They're hands of grace. And they're hands of providence.
Amen.
Because that potter, when he sees that lump of clay, now listen to this, it's going to be shouting around for everybody in here. When that potter sees that little lump of clay, he don't see that lump of clay. He sees that clay as a finished vessel.
Yeah.
He sees that clay as a beautiful vessel.
Right.
He sees that clay as somebody desiring to have that clay. Somebody looking at that clay and say, oh, that's beautiful. But they don't give the glory to the potter, to the clay, but they give the glory to the one that made the clay.
Yeah.
And that's where we miss it so many times. It's, no, it ain't. It's him. Hey, you were just a piece of clay. You'd still be out there under the ground. You'd still be entangled with the muck and the mire of this world. But hey, he dug you out. He lifted you up. He put your feet on a solid rock, thank God. And now he's molding you by his hands. They're hands of ministry. He ministers to you. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, What would we do if it wasn't for the ministry of God to His children?
Right.
What would you do when you're sitting there at the graveyard and your loved one just passed away?
Right.
And your heart feels like it's jumping out of your body. What would you do if it wasn't for the hands of God as He ministered to you and wrapped His hands and His arms around you and gave you a peace that passes all understanding? Thank God. Aren't you glad of that? He ministered to us. It's a moistening ministry. Because the potter knows that the clay has got the wrong kind of water in him. And until he gets that water out of him, he's not going to be any good. So he turns the speed of that wheel up so that it'll fling the water out.
Right.
And it's water the world out. And when he gets that water of the world out of that clay, you know what he starts to do then? He reaches up on the shelf and he gets the potter's water. But the potter's water is different than the world's water.
Yes.
Because the potter's water is purified.
Wow.
It's clean. It don't have all the infirmities. It don't have all the germs. It don't have all the dirt and all the other things that are in the world's water. This is clean, pure water. And he begins to sprinkle a little bit of that water on that clay. He slows that wheel back down to where the water will soak in. That's the exact same way God does you. He'll sling you on that wheel of the will of God. He wants that water of the world out of you. You're no good as long as you got the world's water in you. He wants that world's water out so he can slow you back down and put the water of the word in you. Amen. People that don't like preaching don't like God.
Right.
Because preaching is the way God puts the water in you. Amen. It's a moistening ministry.
Yes.
He knows that if he slings all that water of the word out and don't put water of the word back in, then it'll be a dried up piece of clay.
Yeah.
And we got too many dried up Christians. Amen.
Yeah.
Got too many dried up churches. Need some moisture. Amen. Amen. So it's a moistening ministry, but then it's a molding ministry. He begins to mold that clay. You see, in the potter's mind and in the potter's heart, he's got a picture of exactly what he wants that vessel to be, what he wants that clay to be. I mean, he knows what he wants it to be. You don't, the clay don't, but he does. And so he begins to mold that clay. If you look at the clay then, you say, well, that don't look a bit like what a vessel's going to look like to me. That still looks like a piece of clay. And the world looks at us as we get saved, so, well, you know, you don't look much like any different to me. But you know what I tell them? Just hang on. Hang around a while. God ain't through with me yet. He just started molding me. Hallelujah. I mean, hang around. I'm not what I'm going to be. And thank God I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. I'm not that clay down there in the muck of the mire anymore. I'm in the potter's house. I'm in the potter's hands, thank God.
Right.
So it's hands of, it's a molding ministry. He wants to get the religion out of you. I want to say this morning, if you're a child of God, you ain't got 1 ounce of place for religion in your life.
Right.
Religion will ruin you. It's ruin our churches. It's ruin people. Religion is not God. Religion is not God. You can have a religion and love an automobile and worship an automobile. That'd be your religion. Religion's not God. Redemption is God. Salvation is God. Grace is God. Amen. So there's a big difference in religion, and the potter wants to get that world out of that clay. That clay is now still, and it's not pliable, and that clay is still not where he wants it. But he ain't going to give up because it's a molding ministry. He'll put that clay up high speed on the wheel, and he'll spin it out. If it don't work, he'll take that clay and wrap it back up and put it back on the wheel and spin it again. He'll keep spinning that clay, thank God, until that clay submits to the potter.
Right.
Greatest thing you can do is submit to God.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. If you don't submit to God, you're never going to be in the will of God. You've got to submit to God. It is a moistening ministry. It is a molding ministry. It is a mastering ministry because that potter is going to master that clay.
Yeah, right.
You may as well bank on it.
Right.
If you're saved this morning, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price.
Right.
God owns you. You're His. And He's going to make you what He wants you to be, or He's going to take you out and not have to worry about you anymore. I got scripture for that one too. Say amen. Hey, you're in His hands now. You're the potter's clay. You're not the world's clay anymore. You're the potter's clay. And so it's a mastering ministry. He does what He wants to with that clay. And God does what He wants to with that sinner. Why does God call some to preach? Why does God use some to sing? Why does God use some to teach? Why does God use some to witness? You can sit there and rattle your brain all day long, but God has a reason why He uses each individual, and none is greater than the other, because if you're in God's will, there is nothing any greater.
Right.
It's a hands of ministry. But then it's hands of mystery. There is a mystery of coordination. Because now the hands of the potter, and this is so good, are coordinating the clay in accordance with the heart of the potter. See, he saw that clay before he ever went to get that clay. Before he ever put on his own dirty shoes and come down and got in the dirt of the world. Same way Jesus did when He came and become was incarnated into the flesh of a human being. Before that ever happened, the potter sees that clay sitting upon that shelf in his house, a beautiful vessel.
Yeah.
Now his hands are acting out what his heart's always known.
Wow.
I don't know about you, but that runs cold chills over me. That's exactly what happened at Calvary. The Bible says before the foundation of this world, Jesus Christ became the Lamb of God. He was slain before the foundation of this world. God saw you saved before the foundation of this world. And all that's going on now, all that's went on in 6,000 years of history on this earth, is God acting out with His hands what His heart has always known.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
So when you see God molding your life, He's not doing that on the spur of the moment.
Right.
When you say, well, I wonder why God did this. We think, well, it must have been something I did yesterday.
Yeah.
I doubt it. God's always had a will for your life.
Right. Well,
God's got it all set down. He's got it all mapped out. You can't change God's mind.
Right.
He'll change your mind, but you ought to change His mind. He sees you. As a finished product, thank God. He sees you if you're saved. He sees you as in Christ Jesus, thank God.
Yes.
And He's going to deal with you in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So the mystery of coordination. He begins to coordinate His heart with His hands. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
My. But it's the mystery of correlation, because nothing takes the potter by surprise.
Right.
We think that God gets surprised every now and then. I got news for you. God's never surprised.
Right.
Because God's on this end watching you, and God's on the other end looking back at you.
Right.
And He knows everything in between, so how are you going to surprise God?
Right.
Oh, yeah. I've read preachers that preach said that Barack Obama's getting elected president, so probably surprised God. Oh, no, it didn't.
Right.
No. Don't ever think that. Nothing surprises God. Nothing takes God by surprise.
Right.
He knows all. Hallelujah. He's omnipresent. He's over yonder. He's over here. He don't have to go nowhere. He's already there.
Right.
Hallelujah. He don't have to think of anything. He's already got it. Amen. Hey, you can't change God's mind.
Right.
Why Paul said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Because if you get the mind of God and get in tune with the will of God, you've got something then.
Right.
It's a mystery of correlation. All the stages of bringing that piece of clay to a beautiful vessel is all correlated together.
Right.
That's why you don't jump class.
Right.
God saves you, you need to stay in class.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
If you jump class, you miss the instruction.
Yeah.
Then on down the road, you fall flat on your face and I can't understand that. God don't love me anymore. Yeah, He does love you. He loves you, and that's why He'll let you fall on your face, teach you a lesson to listen to Him. Amen. So it's a mystery of coordination. It's a mystery of correlation. But then it's a mystery of culmination. And that is that He takes that clay, and that clay will be a beautiful vessel one day. And I want to say this to you. He'll either make you a beautiful vessel on this earth, or He'll take you out. And you'll be a beautiful vessel in heaven. 1 John says that. That He'll destroy the body and save the soul. That don't mean save the soul and salvation. That means to take that soul out that's a hindrance to God. Amen. I believe God still does that. I believe there's a deadline in cross as a child of God. God said, That's enough. You brought shame after my name, I'm gonna take you out.
Yes.
Amen. We don't believe that much anymore, but I'm still gonna preach it. Right. Amen. There's a deadline, there's a ladder. I don't know where it's at, but I believe it's there. So what I'm saying is that the potter culminates it. He has an end product in sight. He has an end conclusion in sight.
Right.
That's why we need to get in the will of God.
Yes, sir.
That's why we need to understand that God has a will for our life. He didn't save us just to go with the flow.
Right.
He didn't save us just to be like everybody else.
Right.
If He wanted everybody to be like everybody, He just created robots and got it over with.
Yeah.
Or He'd have cloned everybody after one man.
Yes.
But you are individuals. God saved you because you have something God wants to develop in your life.
Right.
Every one of you. Amen. You say, that's just for preachers. That's Tommy Rot.
Right.
That's for pew setters. That's for teachers. That's for singers. God's got a will for your life. He's got a vessel that He wants you to be that nobody else can be. You're an individual. You're different. There are no two individuals on the face of God's earth that's the same. And God made it that way. When God calls you in salvation, He calls you so that you might be a vessel that nobody else can be. That don't mean you'll be different than the Word of God says. But you will be different in that God will use you in a different way. I know preachers that are, God uses them in prophecy. I know preachers that God uses them in evangelism. I know preachers that God uses them greatly in pastoring. All three of God's work. But there's a difference. So it is a hands of mystery. But then it's hands of mercy.
Yeah.
And oh man, we ought to be thankful God's got mercy.
Yeah.
I'm thankful this morning for America that I'm standing in this country and I was born a free citizen of America. I'm thankful for that.
Right.
But God's got a lot of mercy.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to make that statement anymore that God don't destroy America. He had to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah because America's already surpassed Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
Amen. I mean, the lid's off of everything in this country. There's nothing. There's nothing devious. There's nothing immoral. There's nothing hellish that you can dream of or imagine that is not freely being advertised in this world today. But God still got mercy. I don't know how. If it was me and you, we'd wipe them all out. Yeah, we would. We'd just say, hey, I'm tired of messing with you. You don't want God? I'll give you not having God. God still might do that. Be careful what you ask for. God just might give it to you. So God deals, or the potter deals patiently with that clay. There's no instant vessels. I don't care who preaches that. There are no instant vessels. And I prove it because God saves your soul. He does not save your flesh. Therefore, there's a war between the flesh and your soul. The minute you got saved and got up from the altar, wherever it was, in your house, at church, wherever, right down the house, the minute you accepted Christ and got born again, there's a war declared. Because the flesh wants to be prince. Flesh wants to be king. And Jesus said, I'm your king now. So there's a reason there is no instant vessels. God's got to mold you. You've got to submit
Yes.
Romans 12 and 1 and 2 says, submit yourselves a living sacrifice. Submit. What I preached Wednesday night. Humble yourselves. That means you got to submit. Submit. And the only thing that clay can do when the potter puts it on the wheel is submit.
Right, right.
Clay can't talk.
Right, right.
All you do is just submit to the hand of the potter.
Right.
Hallelujah. So he patiently deals with the clay. Because that clay in its original form got hard places in it.
Yes.
Got warps in it.
Right.
Amen. And he has to get those lumps out. Has to get that hardness out.
Yeah.
Amen. You ever seen anybody that was a lumpy Christian? I have. You ever seen anybody that had a hard spot of Christian? I have. Amen. But God can get that out of you if you'll submit. If you'll not jump off the wheel. If you'll stay on the wheel. And let God spin you until he gets the lumps and the hard places out of you. Then you'll be a pliable piece of clay.
Yeah.
He patiently deals with clay. Hallelujah. His hands of mercy. But he persistently deals with the clay.
Yeah.
That means he's not going to give up.
Right.
Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
He don't throw the clay away. Hallelujah. He don't, no. I mean, hey, you can get out of the will of God. God will put you up on that shelf. That potter will deal with that clay long a while, but if he sees it's too stubborn, he'll set it up around the shelf and let it sit there until another day. And one day he'll pick it back up and he'll say, well, let's see how you work with me now.
Yeah.
Amen, preacher. He persistently deals with that clay. Potter never gets tired. He never runs out of time. Amen. But he providentially deals with that clay too.
Yeah.
It's the providence of God. You're here this morning, not here by accident.
Right.
I believe every morning I open my eyes, the providence of God. You believe that or not?
That's right.
But I believe it. I believe every day I got on this earth is by the providence of God.
Amen.
Amen. I believe God's providence always been somewhat in my life. Because God knows before you ever get saved that you are going to get saved. Now don't get me wrong, it's not like a robot. I'm not preaching that. But I believe God positions you in certain places so that you'll see the salvation of the Lord. Somebody say amen. 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 I see things that when I was in Vietnam, I see how to hand to God. How to hand to God. I believe that. You know why? Because God saw me just stand in 2010, standing right here behind this pulpit, preaching here at Westside Baptist Church. That's what he wanted. That was his will. That's where he wanted the clay to be. Hallelujah. And I believe he providentially deals with the clay.
Yes. Right.
Hallelujah. Jeremiah won't throw the clay away. That's why God sent Jeremiah down to Potter's house. Jeremiah won't throw Israel away. So I'm through with him. I'm disgusted.
Yeah.
And God said, go on down there to Potter's house. I'll show you something, Jeremiah. And what he showed him was that clay. And the potter had the wheel going. And that clay got marred. That potter took his thumb, put it in the clay.
Yes.
And it didn't work. So he took that, stopped that wheel, rolled that clay up,
yeah,
threw it on the wheel again, spun it again, put his thumb of pressure on it again. And God said, Jeremiah, that's the way I'll deal with Israel. Cannot I do with Israel as the potter does with the clay? Cannot God do with us sinners as the potter does with the clay? Yes, he can, and he will.
Right. Amen.
And then their hands of majesty.
Yes.
When he gets that clay on the wheel and that clay submits, and he puts his thumb of pressure on the clay and it begins to mold the vessel. It begins to mold the vessel. And then when he slows that wheel down, and there sits a beautiful vessel. Now he hadn't fired the clay yet. He hadn't fired the vessel. The vessel hadn't been in the furnace. That's a whole other message. But he turns that vessel upside down and he puts his name on the bottom of the vessel. And when you go to a pottery shop and buy you a beautiful vessel, the rich folks call it a vase. I call it a vase.
But when you go buy one, if you're turned upside down, it's got the name of the potter on it. And when you stand there and say, oh, that's beautiful. That's the prettiest vessel I've ever seen. Vessel don't get the glory. The potter does. And when you let God mold you like the potter molds the clay, and somebody looks at you and says, that's a child of God. Their life is so wonderful, a picture of God. You not getting the glory, God is. He puts his name on the clay, but then he also puts his nature in the clay. That vessel is a product of the mind and the heart of that potter. That vessel is not its own, a product of its own. It's a product of the potter, product of God. You saved, you're a product of God. Amen. He puts his nature in you. That's what the new birth is. That old nature won't work. So he takes that nature out when you get saved, and he puts his nature in you. And that's the same way it is with that vessel. When you look at that vessel, what it is, what it does, every pleasure you have out of that vessel is because of the nature of the potter that's in that vessel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.